Yes, I don't remember this dispute with the tribes being part of the governor's campaign. I will not vote for him again based on this issue alone. I don't care what else he's done.
Governor Kevin Stitt in the studio on the KRMG Morning News with Dan Potter for another half hour, 25 minutes or so, to talk about his first year in office. She brings up a good point. Didn't hear about this in the campaign, so why this fight with the tribes right now over the gaming compact?
Well, first off, I don't think it is a fight with the tribes. I'm a member of the Cherokee Nation. I was elected to look at all contracts and to not play favorites with anybody. And so when I first got to the office, there were letters back to 2016, 2017 to the former administration saying these compacts expire. They wanted Governor Fallon to start renegotiating because they didn't currently reflect current market with things that the casinos needed. But we really believe that these expire on January 1st, 2020. I don't think any contract goes on forever. And to me, it's just a simple question. What is it worth for the state to give a license to operate casinos? Okay, we don't live in a vacuum. New Mexico has casinos, Arizona, Florida, Connecticut. That is worth something. And so we have to do that. And now it's in the courts. I reached out to all the different tribes. I went and visited them. I didn't want this to be a big issue. They have refused to talk to the governor. They've refused to negotiate
a
new compact.
So you're saying you have letters saying that they weren't happy with the compact and wanted to renegotiate it, that letters addressed to Governor Fallon, but now that you're in office, they don't want to?
100%. I have letters that say, as you know, the compacts expire on January 1st, 2020. We need to sit down and renegotiate the terms.
But now, once you were sworn in, they reversed themselves?
Absolutely. They've got the sweetest deal in the country. They don't want anything to change. And I don't begrudge them. But it's a legal issue at this point.
So did they think they could get a better deal with Mary Fallon than with you? Is that?
I don't know. But the point is that they knew that they expired. They sent letters to the previous administration. Now they're all talking and saying, hey, no, these go on forever. They auto-renew. No contract goes on forever. And
the contract does say both parties have to want to renegotiate, doesn't it?
It says a very clean language. This compact expires on January 1st, 2020. And then there's some mumbo jumbo legal terms that says if certain things were done, they renew for another 15 years. The state's opinion is they have not done those things. So now it's in court. So the Cherokees, Choctaws, and the Chickasaws have sued the state to say these things go on forever. And so that's great. Let's just go let the courts decide. I will always fight for a fair deal for all 4 million Oklahomans. I'm not going to roll over and renew a bad contract for Oklahoma. My job as governor is to think about what's best for our state for the next 15 years, for the next 30 years, for the next 50 years, and I'll keep maintaining. We need to get a fair deal for them, for the casino industry, but also for the state of Oklahoma, the citizens. 88% of the revenue goes to education. And if you look at the numbers, the amount that we get for the amount of gaming revenue in our state is not a market deal.
We're getting a lot of open mics and people asking questions about immigrants and asking for immigrants in Oklahoma. Can you explain your position?
Yeah, absolutely. So the Trump administration has redone the vetting process. They've gone from 110,000 immigrants, refugees, down to 8,000. They basically ask all the governors, which I appreciate the state's rights, to say, hey, you have to opt in to whether you're going to accept this. And the Trump administration said, we would like you guys to continue to accept it. Oklahoma only receives about 200 immigrants a year. They're mostly from the Southeast Asia, Southeast part of the world, some islands that they're some Christians that have been persecuted. About 200 that we receive, the churches, the Catholic charities asked me to do that. President Trump asked me to do that. And so I was happy to do that. It's a great vetting process. I made sure that we're limiting the amount of people that we bring in, but it's going to be about 200, and I'm monitoring that very, very closely.
There are still roughly 500,000 Oklahomans without health insurance, and one of your campaign promises was to establish a state-sponsored health insurance program. Hasn't happened yet. Is that one of your priorities for 2020?
Absolutely. I've been up to Washington, D.C. several times, been working with the administration and Seema Verma, who's over kind of the federal program for Medicaid and health insurance. State question 802 is going to be on the ballot at some point, and I'll be deciding what election to put that on here in the not-so-distant future. That is the wrong approach for Oklahoma. Basically, 802, the state question 802, puts that into our Constitution. We already have one of the largest constitutions in the country. It gives us zero flexibility if anything changes from the federal level. So I'm going to be telling Oklahomans that's the wrong approach to expand Medicaid. I hear you, though. Oklahomans want better outcomes in healthcare. And so I'm looking at a conservative way where we can bring some of those federal dollars into our state, that we can require some premiums for people to pay, just like I pay co-pays or premiums on my health insurance and you pay on your health insurance. I think it's only fair that when we design this program that we have some premiums for you know, people under the 138% of poverty line is basically how it works. But we are bringing those dollars in. I will have the whole plan rolled out by the 30th of this month.
Oh.
Really excited about that to share with Oklahomans, and maybe even doing a press conference with the Trump administration. We're really working closely with coming up with a conservative way to do this versus 802. We've got to defeat that, because if that passes, then we have no option. There's no way to pay for it. It's going to cost about $150 million. On my plan that I'm going to be rolling, I'm going to show Oklahomans how we can pay for this expanded of federal dollars.
Do you have a price tag on yours yet, or an estimate?
Yeah, it'll be not exactly, but I think we can get some providers to pay for it, and that's what I'm going to be rolling out, towards the end of this month.
I saw you had an interview with Tulsa World, and you said you gave yourself an A in year number one. I'm not going to argue with you at all. I'm just going to ask, what would you do to bump that to an A plus?
I just don't think I've made the change that I wanted to in the state agency. So it's so hard to make change in the state agencies. I believe that the state government has some waste and some fat in different areas. I'm working on that. I mean, I've dug into the 5,000 plus vehicles that we have in our state, and I've ranked them by miles driven. There's cars that we own in the state that have been driven 0 miles. So I've got a plan to get rid of those and consolidate and get people to share resources. And so those are the things that I'm frustrated with myself, that I haven't been able to move the needle fast enough. But we've got a great team in place, and it does take longer than the private sector to move the needle in state government. But I just want Oklahomans to know I'm so happy to be their governor. And I roll up my sleeves every day, dig into the weeds, dig into the details to move the needle for our state, because we can be. We will be a top 10 state.
Well, speaking of vehicles,
my question for the governor would be, what is his thoughts on the turnpike, and what is his outlook in the future?
I bet you get that question once a week at least. What about the turnpike? We're going to see the end of tolls on the turnpike.
So my thoughts on the turnpike, I've got Secretary Gatz that's over both turnpike and Department of Transportation. And so my goal is to consolidate those two agencies, because really to us, to the people of Oklahoma, it's all transportation, right? I don't like silos. I don't like just doing what's good for turnpike or just doing what's good for transportation, because it's all infrastructure in our state. And so that's my goal, is to consolidate those two, make the turnpikes contribute money to Department of Transportation for other roads. And really, if we're building turnpikes, and there's certain cases where we're going to have to continue as we're making loops around Tulsa, loops around Oklahoma City, there is a need for it. But we want to do it where it makes sense, and we want to take those dollars and invest them into other rural parts of the state and other infrastructure needs. So I think the first step is to get the leadership all together. They currently have about $1 billion in bonding, and I'm really watching their over, development of other turnpikes.
735, Dan Potter, Rick Corey with Governor Kevin Stitt, 1 year in office for the governor. We invite your questions via open mic on the KRMG app.
Governor Stitt, please take a look at the workers' comp court. Big business is allowed to just drag it out forever, and the injured worker gets nothing. Mary Fallon created a horrible fiasco with this.
Do we need workers' comp reform? That was an issue I hadn't heard about before.
You know, that's something that I don't hear a lot about that. The workers' comp was put into place in the last administration, and something that we're looking at, and I'm putting the right people in place to oversee that. Obviously, you have to be balanced, and you got to look at what other states do. And we don't want the pendulum to swing too far either way. We've got to be balanced. We got to be balanced with industry to make sure that they don't have unemployment insurance, workers' comp insurance out of market with other states, and it puts us in a bad situation for employers to be employed here. But in the same sense, we've got to be balanced and make sure that nobody takes advantage of our wonderful workers in our state. And that's something that I'm very cautious of, to make sure that I use a balanced approach and I look at what market is in other states.
Brian Kilmeade, Rush Limbaugh, Sean Hannity, and the KRMG Evening News with Dick Loftus.
There's no team better prepared to keep you safe
with breaking news, weather, and traffic. Listen often. Stay a while. 102.3 KRMG, Tulsa's news and talk.
Heavily supported Kevin Stitt, but due to this issue alone, I will not vote for him again.
The governor's right. The compacts do expire, and the Native Americans have not done everything that they said they were going to do. The only people that are concerned about this are the ones that are hooked up on the gambling.
Governor, we're getting a lot of open mics from people who seem kind of single issue in regards to your ongoing, well, let's not call it a dispute. I don't know what we call it, loggerheads with the tribes over this gaming compact. Do you feel sometimes like maybe you grabbed a tiger by the tail here?
Well, absolutely. I mean, I don't think there's a lot of people that would have taken this stance. Because if you're a politician and you're worried about your career, you're not going to tackle, this industry, because it's huge. It's very powerful. You can see the ads they're running on TV promoting their industry. And but here's the deal. I was elected. I have a fiduciary responsibility to all 4 million Oklahomans to negotiate the best deal, especially when a compact expires. And what is gaming worth? And again, I'm a member of the Cherokee Nation, very proud of our Native American heritage in Oklahoma. But If this is really a if the state licenses this activity, we should ask the question: what is that activity worth? Right? Why do we want to give away an asset of the state for the next 50 years or 100 years that's not market? And why pulling a slot machine is worth X amount in Connecticut or Florida or New Mexico, and it's worth a quarter of that in Oklahoma? I just don't believe that. And it's my job to think about that and to ask that question and to say, you know what, I'm going to protect the interest of Oklahoma, the interest of education for the next 50 years. And if I don't do it, I don't know who will.
I got to think that you guys looked at this and put a number to what that could be worth at the end of it, did you? And what is that?
Yeah, I mean, that's all part of the negotiations. And I think that the casinos, they want expanded activity. They want things that would keep them up to market with other states that are coming around them. So that's what's been so frustrating, is they've refused to negotiate or to talk about that industry and what the rates are. But yeah, it's hundreds and hundreds of millions of dollars that our state is getting shorted from a current compact with what other states are getting for the right to operate casinos, right? I mean, the commercial side, they've called me and said, hey, I'll be there tomorrow and sign an 18% deal with you. Oklahomans don't know if the Hard Rock Casino is operated by XYZ or it's operated by this company or that company or this tribe. It's a casino. And they're advertising to people in Arkansas, to people in Kansas, to people in Texas. So our state should get what it's worth to operate that casino. Here's how so disingenuous it is. The Cherokee Nation that's operating, which is my nation, is operating the Hard Rock in just outside of Tulsa. They also went and are operating a casino in Arkansas, just right across the border. They're paying the state of Arkansas between 13% to 20% for every kind of game. In our state, they're paying between 4% to 6% only on half of the games. So how is that fair for Oklahoma? And so the people that say, oh, just why are you picking on the tribes, or why are you doing this? Just let them auto-renew. Why would we do that if my job as governor is to think about what's best for Oklahoma for the next 50 years? So I want them to be successful, but I want a fair deal for Oklahoma.
You've given them, I believe, 7 months, an extension, even though the tribes say they don't need it. But you've granted an extension, of, I believe, until August. Is that correct?
Yeah, we did an eight-month extension. Several tribes sign on to it. The big tribes, instead of signing on to that so we can continue the negotiations, they decided to sue me in federal court.
Right.
So that's great. Let's just go find out what the courts say. That's great. If these things auto-renew forever, then we know that 15 years ago we got saddled with a bad deal that apparently the state has no rights to say how we operate casinos in our state.
It's not retroactive, though, is it? It would be going forward from that point in the contract?
What?
It wouldn't be retroactive to the time you think that we were shorted, right? Would just be going forward.
Be going forward, yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
We could get bogged down in this one issue. We could make this a one-issue show, but we've got other stuff we want to touch on and lots of open mics.
Governor Stitt, when are you planning on, or what is your plans of bringing more large corporations to Oklahoma to further our jobs?
Economic development. What do you got planned in 2020?
Yeah, so one of the things that I'm really excited about is I'll be issuing an executive order. I've already talked to all the state agencies. We've got to go through our regulations, and we've got to limit our regulations. President Trump signed an executive order that every new regulations, they would have to get rid of two. I'm going to do the similar type of executive order here in the next couple weeks. My goal is to reduce regulations by 25% over the next 3 years. Why is this important? This will unleash growth and economic development in our state. Our state currently has twice as many regulations than the state of Kansas. We've got 15 to 22% more than Arkansas and New Mexico. Missouri and New Mexico. So we have got to start doing that. I've got commerce focused on five specific states. California is one of them, that are overregulated, that are pushing business out, and we've got them targeting those states where we have a competitive advantage, especially with the clusters. And I tell them to design it around the clusters that we already have here. Aviation to defense is a huge one that we're going after all over the country, and we're getting some great wins. Our GDP, the first two quarters of 2019, was in the top 10 in the nation. So I'm excited about what we're doing. We got a lot more to go. I've been on the phone with American Airlines. They've got some great announcements going. I talked to GT Bynum just yesterday, helping them to continue to bring jobs here into Tulsa.
I know you've got to go, but before you do, what is your number one priority in 2020?
So the number one priority is to continue the agency accountability, continue to manage state government. So we've got some reforms coming, allowing our agency heads to continue to operate and run their agencies better. I think most governors spend so much time on the policy, they forget about actually running the state government. We spend over $19 billion in federal and state dollars. I want to make sure that all of our tax dollars are spent on mission, on target, moving us to top 10 in whatever we're doing. So that's my number one target. Obviously, education, infrastructure, and healthcare are always at the top of our priorities, and it's what kind of consumes my office. And those four things, whether you're Republican, Democrat, you live in rural Oklahoma, urban Oklahoma, we all want the best things. We want the best economy, the growing jobs. We want the best access to healthcare. We want the best education for our children. We want the best infrastructure, roads and bridges. Yeah. I can boil state government down to those four things and then making sure I look at what other states are doing to kind of continue to move the needle.
Well, once we get that done, though, when are we going diving?
Anytime you tell me, I'm ready to go.
Kevin Stitt, thank you so much for spending so much time with us on your first anniversary in office. We really appreciate it.
Absolutely. Thank you, and thanks, Oklahoma, for your trust in me.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.